But let's take our Bible and go to Proverbs 8, if you haven't done so. We're going to look at Proverbs 8 tonight, and we're kind of in the middle of this chapter on wisdom. Really, Proverbs is all about wisdom, but in this chapter in particular, we are being taught, we are being addressed by wisdom. And I have titled our study tonight, The Description of Wisdom and Her Blessings. So, let's begin. Proverbs 8, verse 12. Follow with me. I'll read it, and then I will pray, and we'll ask for God's help, and then we'll look into it together. Proverbs 8, verse 12. Here's the word of God from the Bible. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me. And those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than the choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, so that I may fill their treasuries. Well, God of heaven and earth, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom that you have given. Thank you, Lord, for the families, for the men, for the women, for the singles, the marrieds, the younger, the older, that we can come together and together as a family, as a body of believers, look into the Bible. We ask that you would teach us, that you would humble us, that you would instruct us. And Lord, maybe in a fresh way, that you would write upon the tablet of our hearts just how important it is to get the wisdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to begin with a question that I actually put on the top of your outline tonight, and it's this. If wisdom were a person, what would she be like? And I put the word she there because wisdom in the Hebrew language is feminine. And I'm going to talk a little later on about lady wisdom. But if wisdom was a person, what kind of a person would she be like? What do you think would describe her? What would she be characterized by? What kind of things would she do? Where would she live? What would she think about? How would friends and acquaintances describe her if wisdom was a person? Proverbs chapter 8 is going to paint for us the picture of wisdom as if it was a person. But we really don't have to look too far, do we? We don't have to go looking somewhere in the far reaches of the earth to try to find a perfect example of wisdom, because the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2 that in Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So maybe my question is inaccurate. Since wisdom is a person, what kind of a person is this? And the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 8 of Proverbs is going to personify wisdom as if wisdom was a person crying out, a person shouting, a person lifting her voice in the open square saying, "Everybody, listen to me." Remember last week in verses 1 through 4, we talked about how wisdom is taking her stand and she's calling out to men and to women and to naive and to fools saying, "Come to me, I'll give you wisdom." But a couple weeks ago, we were in Proverbs chapter 7. That was also a woman calling out. That was an evil woman. That was a sexually immoral woman. But now in chapter 8, now we've got the good example, the godly woman, wisdom, the wisdom from God calling out. We have in Proverbs chapter 8 a wonderful chapter telling us what wisdom is and why wisdom is better. Why wisdom is best, why you should seek this wisdom, and what are the benefits? What are the benefits that this wisdom of God gives? Let me think about it in parenting with you for a moment. Imagine Solomon with his son, and Solomon's going to say to his son, "Let me tell you about Lady Wisdom. I want you to know about her. I want you to understand her. I want you to find her." But then he doesn't just end with the knowledge. He wants to woo his son to her. Maybe I could put it like this. Solomon says to his son, "Let me describe her to you. Let me describe how wonderful the wisdom is. But then let me draw your heart to her." We're looking at that tonight. We're going to look at the description of Lady Wisdom, and then we're going to be drawn to Lady Wisdom with the benefits and the blessings and the joys and the satisfactions that she gives. But before we do that, you can keep your finger here and turn with me to James chapter 3. Now, the book of James is wisdom for life. I think James is the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's the Proverbs of the New Testament. The book of James is full of wisdom and full of truth and full of skill for living. For example, chapter 1 is about trials and perseverance and hearing and doing the word. In Proverbs chapter 2, we learn about favoritism and the sin thereof. And the need to have faith and works, or I should say a faith that shows itself in godly works. And then in chapter 3 of James, we learn about taming the tongue and how important it is to guard our words. Chapter 4, we learn about evil speech and we learn about pride. In chapter 5 of James, we learn about the misuse of riches and counsels on wise living. I mean, this is a practical book on wisdom. But look with me at James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. There are two kinds of wisdom, and I want you to hear this, because there's a wisdom from above and a wisdom from below. Look at how James begins. James 3, 13. "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his wisdom his good behavior, his deeds, and the gentleness of wisdom." It's not just intellect. You're going to show it by your life. Verse 14, "But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, don't be arrogant and lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it is earthly, it is natural, and it is demonic." That's the wisdom from below. That's the wisdom of this world. That's any wisdom that does not come from God. But now in verse 16, "For where," he continues, "jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder of every kind. No wonder the wisdom of this world cannot bring peace." Verse 17, "But the wisdom from above is first pure and peaceable and gentle and reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy." That's what we want. We want the wisdom from above. We want the wisdom that comes from God. We need to see this character of wisdom, to identify it, to hold on to it, to seek it, and to live by it. And then verse 18 of James 3 ends, "The seed whose fruit is righteousness." You say, "I want that. I want to have a righteous life. I want to have a seed that's going to produce righteousness." "It's sown in peace by those who make peace." That's wisdom from above. Peace, peaceable. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Well, that's the wisdom from above that we want. Proverbs chapter 8 is going to describe for us more about this kind of wisdom from above. Where do we get the wisdom? What is it like? And what are the benefits of this wisdom? Just to remind you, as we go back to Proverbs 8 in your Bible, last week we looked at the defensive wisdom, right? Wisdom of God is available, and the wisdom of God is reliable. Those are both true. It's available and reliable. Tonight we're going to talk about the blessings of wisdom in the present time, in your life, in my life. Boys and girls, families, husbands, wives, younger, older, this is God's wisdom for you right here, right now, in your life. Next week, when we come together next week, we're going to talk about the blessings of wisdom that appeared way long ago at the creation of the world. And the wisdom of God not only created the world, but the wisdom of God is available to you and me right here. Available to us today. Now, if you look in your Bible at verse 12, you see in your Bible, I, wisdom. Here she is talking to us. Wisdom is taking on a person. I, wisdom, am talking to you. Look at verse 17. I, wisdom, love those who love me. And then if you look at verse 17, there's a little bit of sort of a bracket here. Verse 17, I love those who love me. And then verse 21, to endow those who love me. We're going to talk about that as well, how important it is to love the wisdom of God. So why should we pursue wisdom? Why should we pursue it? Solomon is going to be like a salesman. He's going to be like a salesman and tell you, here's what it is and why you should get this. Wisdom is like a preacher crying, calling out, telling you what it is, but why you should get it. In your outline, two very simple headings as we go through our time. Number one, what wisdom is. And number two, what wisdom gives. What is wisdom? And what does wisdom give? So let's walk through our text together. We'll apply it. And then this will prepare us for a time of prayer here in a little bit. So what is wisdom? Because in verses 12 to 16, we're going to have the character of wisdom. Now, remember in the Bible, wisdom is not only what you know. It's the knowledge of God that leads to godly living in the presence of God. There's a lot of people that know about God. Satan knows more about God than we do. But he is not a being of wisdom. He is not a being who has received the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is correct knowledge and the application and implementation of biblical truths into our lives. Look at verse 12. I, wisdom, I dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. We have the name. We have the name of wisdom. If you were to say, what's your name? I say, Jeff Kirkland. The name in our culture today identifies a person. Jeff Kirkland, Elizabeth Kirkland, that identifies us. But in biblical times, it wasn't so much that way. In biblical times, name was more of a revelation of character. For example, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. His name will be Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Or his name will be Ichabod, right? The glory has departed. Right? Why? It's not just an identification of somebody. It's a revelation of their character. That's what we have here. Wisdom is the name of this person as she is calling out. Let me tell you who I am. Let me tell you about my character. Let me tell you about who I am. Verse 12, I dwell with prudence. So what's the address of this person? Where does wisdom live? What's the street address? Here's the answer. With prudence. Well, what's prudence? It's a rare Hebrew word that refers to somebody who considers life seriously. And they are anticipating hardships, and they are thoughtfully making biblical decisions. This is a person who is living life, not sort of on a whim. He's not, He's not just sort of a jokester, but he's a serious-minded person. And he's really considering life with all of the obstacles. And he's making decisions biblically. And wisdom says, that's where I live. That's the kind of person that I am. That's the kind of person that has biblical wisdom. Just a quick application for all of us. That's Psalm 1, isn't it? Blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Is that true for you? Is that true for me? That we are, in verse 12, prudent. Where we've got the wisdom of God showing itself to be in us. And then in verse 13, well, how does this wisdom manifest herself? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. That's what it does. But notice how it's described here. One of the ways you know that you fear God is if you hate evil. Hate evil. Doesn't just say, kind of shrug it off. No, hate evil. Hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way of the perverted mouth. I hate. You see, the fear of the Lord entails a turning from evil. Wisdom is not only mental, but it's also moral. Wisdom is not only intellectual, but also very practical. It's not only what you know, but it's how you go as well. Remember, fearing God, we talked about it in chapter 1. Fearing God includes the ideas of knowing about God. It includes the idea of bowing down before God, submitting to God in obedience, and loving God. It's kind of like this fourfold strand that's sort of all interwoven in this idea of fearing God. I know about God, I bow before God, I submit to God in obedience, and I love Him. And I love this God. But the wisdom of God says, you know, here's where I dwell. I dwell with prudence. And I dwell with those who fear the Lord. And to fear God means that you turn away from evil. And then verse 13, God's wisdom says, pride I hate. But again, it's a very rare word for pride. There's a lot of words for pride in the Hebrew Bible. This is a rare one. Because the word here for pride has to do with rising up in self-promotion. It's all about raising yourself up in self-promotion, self-congratulation, self-will, self-love, rather than bowing down before God's majesty. And amazing how the wisdom of God comes out right here saying, this is who I am. I love humility, but to fear God, we hate evil and pride. Self-congratulation, self-love, self-promotion, self-will. And this wisdom of God is so great and so available. Look at verse 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding and power is mine. What descriptions of this character? What descriptions of God's wisdom? And not only is it useful, look at verse 15. By me kings reign, even the highest ones in authority, and rulers decree justice. The problem is when leaders go astray from God's wisdom, and they try to rule and reign by man's wisdom, that always and only leads to disaster. Psalm 2, the Lord in heaven laughs at the wisdom of men. But that's a reminder for us to pray for our leaders. It's a reminder for us to pray for our kings. It's a reminder for us to pray for our governing authorities. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Romans 13. Let's not forget that every single person in authority has been put there sovereignly by God. Whether we like it or whether we don't. Whether we agree with them, whether we don't. They're put there by God. So we ought to pray for them. We ought to pray that they would have this wisdom from God. But before we move on, what is wisdom? Verse 14, counsel is mine, sound wisdom is mine, I am understanding, and power is mine. What is so intriguing to me is almost all of the words in our verse in Proverbs 8:14 are found in the description of the Messiah in Isaiah chapter 11. Because in Isaiah chapter 11, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, a branch will bear fruit, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of strength and power, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's Jesus. So if I go back to our main heading, what is wisdom? Well, ultimately, it's the embodiment found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We go to Christ. We look at Christ. We behold His glory. We look at His splendor. We read the Gospels. We fall low in worship before Him. We declare Jesus is Lord. We obey Him. We follow Him. We submit to Him. Why? Because in Jesus are all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. To have Jesus is to have everything. To have Jesus is to have the wisdom of God. By God's doing, we are in Christ Jesus. He became to us wisdom from God. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Jesus is the perfect embodiment of God's wisdom. This is what wisdom is. And this is Proverbs 8 crying out, shouting out, I, wisdom, I want you to know who I am. I want you to know what my character is like. What wisdom is. But the Father's not done. He doesn't just want to tell you what it's like. He wants to motivate you. The Father, Solomon, wants to woo you. He wants to draw you. He wants to tug at your heart, saying, here's why. Here's why you should get this wisdom and pursue this wisdom with all of your heart. Look at verse 17. In your outline, number two, what wisdom gives. Verse 17, I love those who love me. And those who diligently seek me will find me. You see, in all of the verses that remain in our study tonight, we are going to see how God's wisdom will communicate these valuable benefits. Valuable benefits. Lavishness, affection, provision, joy, happiness, exceeding bounty. That's what the wisdom of God gives. We ought to love God genuinely and seek Him fully. Look at verse 17. Wisdom says, I love those who love me. And those who diligently seek me will find me. How do you know that you love God's wisdom? How do you know that you love God? You're diligently seeking Him. That's the parallel phrase. You're seeking God. It's not just some intellectual thing only. It's a lifelong pursuit. Those who diligently, do you see in your Bible in verse 17 the word diligently, those who diligently seek? That word in the original language means to go out of your way to pursue it. Now we get that. We all have a course, we've got a plan, we've got a schedule, we've got a routine, we've got things that we do. And here this idea is, you know what? To go out of your usual way, even to break the routine if needed, because I need to pursue my God. And I want to pursue His wisdom. Look, sometimes we can coast in life and we can get in such a routine. But this is the idea of, you know what? From time to time, maybe I have to detour a little bit. Maybe I've got to get out of my usual way to pursue this God. You know, it reminds me in verse 17 of a book in the Bible where one of the main themes of the book of the Bible is seeking God. It's the book of 2 Chronicles. One of the main themes in the whole book of 2 Chronicles is seeking God. That's what the chronicler wants you to know. With all the kings, from Solomon all the way down to the end, whether they were good or bad or ugly, they did follow God, they did seek God, or they didn't. But that's one of the themes. Look in your outline, there's a little box there, and I just pulled some of the verses out. Look at what God wants, 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people who are called by my name, if they will pray and seek my face, then I will heal their land. That's what Second Chronicles 7 said. Second Chronicles 12:14, he did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. Second Chronicles 14:4, he commanded Judah to seek the Lord. Second Chronicles 15:2, if you seek God, he will let you find him. Second Chronicles 19, you have set your heart to seek God. Second Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat turned to seek the Lord. Again, Second Chronicles 20, Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. And then in the Psalm 105, let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Psalm 119, we are to seek God with all of our heart. You see, in the book of Chronicles, and even in Psalms as well, what do we find? We are to pursue God. We are to seek God. We are to follow after God. Same thing with wisdom. Those who diligently pursue God, guess what? You'll find this wisdom. Now, Proverbs 8, verse 17 tells us, if you seek God's wisdom, you'll find it. And then in verse 18, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. Hey, come to this wisdom and you will have plenty. What's so interesting about the Bible is if you give your life to pursue money, you're gonna lose your soul. It's gonna corrupt you. 1 Timothy 6 makes that very clear. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. But when you pursue the wisdom of God, yes, he will provide you with wisdom, but the general principle of Proverbs is when you are living your life with the wisdom of God, he supplies all of your needs as well. He's going to promise to provide all of your needs in the glorious riches in Christ. Philippians 4, verse 1. That doesn't say all of your wishes, but our needs. You know, we have to come to grips here with the fact that the Proverbs, they don't hesitate to name tangible wealth as a reward of walking in wisdom. They're not afraid of saying that God provides for his people. Why? Because the wisdom of God guards people from making really foolish decisions. It guards you from making financially unwise decisions that are counterproductive. They're harmful to self, to family, to society, to others. But it's not ultimately about money. Look at verse 18 again carefully. Riches and honor are with me, yes. Enduring wealth and righteousness. You see, ultimately everything is leading up to a life that walks with God in righteousness. This is the ultimate benefit of God's wisdom. It leads you in righteousness. That you have a life that is God-like. That you are walking in righteousness, a way that is pleasing to God. Now, I want to clarify one thing. This is not a prosperity message. This is not a health, wealth, prosperity chapter. This is not a name it and claim it message. You know what it is? It's a progressive advancement chapter. It's a grow wise steadily chapter and see God provide for your needs. It's a pursue your God program that will yield generally tangible benefits in this life. Doesn't mean you're going to be wealthy, but it means that when you make good, wise decisions, God will provide. He will watch over. He will guard. He will care for his people. Look at what wisdom says in verse 19. My fruit, what I give you, is better than money anyway. Don't set your heart upon money. It's better than money and pure gold. Yes, my yield is better than the choicest silver. The wisdom of God is better. You know, can you and I affirm that tonight? Kind of like David in Psalm 19, like the psalmist in Psalm 119. God, Your word is precious to me. Your word is delightful to me. Like the psalmist, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. That's how David put it in Psalm 19. You'll remember when David said, that your word is more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. So what does wisdom say? Look at verse 20 again. It's not just about money or financial prosperity. Verse 20, wisdom says, I walk in the way of righteousness. You want this wisdom of God? Prove it. Let's show it by walking in the way of righteousness and in the midst of the paths of justice. Why? These are God-like qualities. This is the kind of life that pleases God and honors God and exemplifies the character of Christ. Why? Verse 21, what does wisdom do? I endow those who love me with wealth so that I might fill their treasuries. You might say, wow, fill my treasury. Let me just open my purse and God is going to give me a bunch of money, somebody might think. No. What Solomon is doing, he's not teaching financial prosperity here. He's using a phrase that he intentionally used way back in chapter 1 when the bad, violent friends are saying, come, let's lie in wait for people's blood. We will find all kinds of wealth and we will fill our houses with treasure and spoil. Solomon says, that's the worldly way. But if you pursue God, He will give you everything that you could ever want in life to satisfy you, to please you, to guide you, to protect you, to guard you. This is the contrast. Worldly wisdom or godly wisdom? You can try to fill up your own treasure on your own. You're going to be empty, you're going to be unsatisfied, and it's going to lead to hell. But if you come to God and you pursue His wisdom, right here in Proverbs 8:21, God's wisdom says, I will fill you. I will fill you with excessive bounty, because that's what God does for His people. He provides with Himself. You know, all of that really kind of brings us to another account, I think, in the Bible. Real quick, in your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, it's the account of Mary and Martha when Jesus had entered a village and there was a woman named Martha who welcomed Jesus into her home, and she had a sister, Mary, and Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus. And I love this. Luke chapter 10, verse 39, she was at the Lord's feet listening to His word. Now, I don't know about you, that's a place of wisdom. That's where we want to be, at the feet of Jesus. But Martha, in verse 40, she was distracted with all of her preparations. And she came up to Jesus and she said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. You know that account. What a wonderful, wonderful account. Mary was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to His word. You know, what we see in Mary here is the wisdom of God was prioritized. And that's a good lesson for us. It was prioritized. There were all kinds of distractions, preparations and things that needed to be done. But she prioritized the wisdom of God. We also see, second, the wisdom of God was preeminent to her. It was better. There's nothing better than hearing the word of Jesus, the word of the Lord. There's nothing better in the whole world. That's why I tell my kids, and I hope our church family hears this so often, but I tell my kids, there's nothing better in the planet than gathering with God's people and hearing the Bible read and the Bible preached. Nothing more important in all of the world. This is the high point of our week, to gather together, to read and to study and to hear the Word of God. This is preeminent. She knew that. Third, it is permanent. Because Jesus said in verse 42, this is the good part. It'll never be taken away. This word that God gives, it'll never be taken away. And then it's also protective because it kept her from worry. It kept her from fear. It kept her from anxiety. Martha was worried and bothered and fearful. Mary was guarded from that because she was at the feet of Jesus hearing his word. You know, as we come to a time of prayer here in just a minute, this is what wisdom is. This is what wisdom gives. This is the benefit of wisdom. May the Lord cultivate in my heart and in your heart that we would be like this Mary, at the feet of Jesus, hearing the word of the Lord. That we would be those receptive to wisdom calling out, saying, here's who I am and here's what I give. That we would tell our children, that we would tell our grandchildren, that we would remind one another of the bounteous provision and plenty and joy that is found in God and in his wisdom and in the Lord Jesus Christ. May it be that we would seek God and that we would be satisfied with his wisdom and that we would be shepherded by his truth day by day as we progressively grow more into the image of Christ. May he give us a love for his wisdom. Our Father, we thank you for your word, just a short time tonight, but yet, Lord, so powerful to look into your truth. Every word of your scripture, every verse, every phrase, perfect and given to us so that we might know you, so that we might walk with you, so that we might follow you, so that we might have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. We pray, O Lord, that you would guide us and minister to us and meet with us as we not only are at the feet of Jesus hearing your word tonight, but now as we meet together and pray, receive all glory we ask. It's in his name we pray. Amen.